Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Hebrews 10:23 in the Passion Translation says, "So now wrap your heart tightly around the hope that lives within us, knowing that God always keeps his promises." Every bit of news, all the information, the reports that, man, we're bombarded with, people's opinions, the key to successful life in this period of time, in the historic time that we're in right now, is that we've got to lay hold of that which has laid hold of us. We've got to grab hold. Verse 24 says, "Discover creative ways to encourage one another, to motivate one another toward acts of compassion." Just like Sunday night, doing beautiful works as expressions of love. Verse 25, "This is not the time to pull away or even neglect meeting together, as some have formed the habit of doing. In fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward as we anticipate the day dawning." This is the time where we need each other. Otherwise, life is just full of rabbit holes and darkness and doom and gloom. I'm telling you, we've got to cling. The Bible says, lay hold of that which is laid hold of you. Man, we've got to grab a hold of God's promise. We've got to make sure that there's a constant flow of revelation that's in our lives. Because I'll tell you, the news of the world, our media today, is trying to take that over. I mean, it's trying to become the dominant force of information in our lives, and we can't let that happen. So high five somebody and have a seat. Man, I'm glad you guys are here. I appreciate the people that came early and shoveled sidewalks and snow. And if you're wondering where to get plugged in and you're a fella, just come a little bit early and grab a hold of a shovel and start shoveling snow and take care of business. Turn to somebody and say, "Hey, take care of business." Matthew 6:8, Jesus said, "Therefore, don't be like them." Underline that, highlight that, put a star in the margin of your Bible there. Don't be like them. I'll tell you, there is a common theme in the world today. Strong opinions, heavy cutting judgment, ridicule, I mean, bullying. Don't be like them. "For your Father knows the things you have need of before you even ask." See, the reason people are like they are is because there's such great need in their lives. And we've got to understand that. In this manner, Jesus said here, here's how you pray. "Our Father who art in heaven." See, understanding this, the basic preface of the gospel is God sent Jesus to an orphaned planet. You understand that? We're all orphans. I was adopted as a five-year-old by my dad. He married my mother when I was 18 months old. He adopted me at 5 years old. At 5 years old, I was going to school. It became real that I had a different last name than his family name with, at that point, another son, my brother Jeff. So in going to school, he wanted me to have that family name. He didn't want me to be separate. So I understand that. I get it, the whole adoption idea of our lives. I've got that in my closet, on my shelf. I've got their certificate of adoption. And it's interesting. It's typewritten. And it's, you know, where the E is here and the R is here and the letters are kind of, they're not all in line and they're not spaced like they are today. But understand that God sent Jesus to an orphan planet. We were all orphans. So when he said, "Our Father who art," now we have a father, okay? And then he said this, "Hallowed be your name." See, it's the name above all names. The name above depression, the name above anxiety, the name above poverty, the name above cancer, the name above kidney disease. It's a name above all names. Hallowed be your name. And then it starts getting real. He said, your kingdom's come. Your kingdom's here. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is what brings his kingdom on the earth. See, we try to make it a theological issue, and it's not. Man, the whole idea of the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit is the governor that's come from heaven to an orphaned planet, listen, to establish God's kingdom on the earth through us. That's why God inhabits, his Holy Spirit inhabits us. His Holy Spirit works within us. His Holy Spirit is the driving force of our lives. But you know what? Man, the church is, over generations, has done a really good job of screwing that whole message up about the Holy Spirit. That's why the Bible says to be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because, man, that's how we bring God's kingdom to this earth. He said, your kingdom come, your will be done. His will is his word. Man, we've got to hold fast to the word of faith. We've got to hold fast to this word that's precious to our souls. And then he said this. He said, on earth as it is in heaven. And that's the key to our lives. It's on earth as it is to heaven. We're not trying to bring earth to heaven. We're bringing heaven to earth. Man, it changes everything. See, it changes the whole idea that we have about soul winning. Man, we want to win the lost because we want to populate heaven. Yeah, that's this much of it. We want to win the lost. Why? Because they're orphans. They're brothers and sisters of ours that are orphaned. And you know what? God's ready to adopt them into his family, into his kingdom. In Romans 12:1, Paul writes, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the very mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him. Listen, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2 says, and don't be conformed to this world. Underline that, highlight that, write that down. I'll tell you what's interesting. Having sat by Cassie, my daughter-in-law, for a few years now at church, when I put my notes together, I think, you know what? I've got it, because Cassie's an avid note taker. I thought, you know what? This message has to be noteworthy so that Cassie's filling up pages in her notebook. But here's the deal. Don't be conformed to this world. I mean, if I just got up and said that, look, the key to success in your life is don't conform yourself to this world. The world isn't confirming us. Our confirmation comes from him. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, last year, the three words that came into play in our lives as a church is revival, deliverance, and abundance. See, revival, yeah, that's the gate. That's that gate that opens, and we start running in this race. And you know what? I love revival. I love a personal revival. I love a corporate revival. I love a national revival. But let me just tell you, the revival sets up our transformation. Transformation is the goal. But be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. That you may prove, listen, what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. It's your reasonable service. See, transformation's the key. Transformation's how we live the abundant life. Transformation, let me just tell you, if you live a life of transformation, you'll never be broke. You'll always have more than enough. Sickness will bounce off of you. Man, a symptom will come on you, and you know what? The will of God in your life will devastate that sin. I'm just telling you how this works. And see, that no weapon formed against you will ever prosper. The transformation that we're looking for from God comes from renewing our minds to God's word and God's promise, period. And let me tell you, that's our marching orders. So if you think about it, the rabbit holes that we could go down now with podcasts and other information that's in the world and everything that's going on, you think about the amount of time that you spend there and versus the amount of time we spend in God's word. And I'm not talking about sitting there reading God's word. I'm talking about reading it, thinking about it, meditating on it, speaking it, applying it to your lives, making it real in your lives. That's how it becomes a foundation in our lives. See, it's like a cement truck. That's what we become. We're driving down the road, and that big tank in the back of that cement truck's turning. What's it doing? It's keeping that cement turned. Why? Because it's gonna lay a foundation. It's gonna lay a pad that's gonna stiffen. And you know what? We're gonna be able to build our lives on it. And we've got to understand that. See, nothing happens in the kingdom until it's decreed, until it's spoken, until it's prophesied. You look what has happened in this church. Gustavo Paez and Ricardo, his translator, have been here twice in our church, and Sandy and I have become dear friends with them. But let me tell you what happened. What happened is there were decrees set in people's lives and decrees set in this church and proclamations, and he prophesied into people's lives. What happens? That transforms us. And see, we've got to understand that. Psalm 34:8, it's interesting. Everyone here could quote this verse. We've heard it hundreds of times. It says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord, he is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." Taste and see that the Lord is good. Man, we could all recite that. But the whole idea of this is that when we taste it, we experience it. It's experiential. But when we see it, it changes our perspective. And there's too many people that come to church and they taste and they taste and they get a taste, but they never see. See, we've got to get to a place where God's word, what we've tasted, what we've experienced from God, changes how we see life, changes how we see people, changes how we see marriage, changes how we see parenting, changes how we see our finances. See, what you think and know about God shapes your purpose and your destiny. Man, if you have no idea what God is, you have no idea what your purpose is. And see, we've got to understand that. See, the whole world is living a purposeless life. Any wind that blows through, it pops their sails, and it's like, oh my gosh, here we go. Where are we going? Oh, wherever the wind takes us. Well, the Bible talks about that as being winds of doctrine. It's a teaching with no basis. See, the basis of our lives is the doctrine of our lives, which is what we base everything on and we stand upon, and that's God's promise. See, what we think and what we know and what we speak about God, it shapes our future. It shapes our purpose. It shapes our destiny. Man, think about that. Think about just applying God's promise to your vocabulary, activating your vocal cords. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Man, your faith is inflated when the word is preached in your life, because there's a blessing on that word. But let me tell you, the power for you in your life is not just hearing it, it's hearing yourself speak it. See, the logos of God is the written word. I appreciate the written word of God. But the rhema of God is his power. That's when it's spoken. See, there's no power in the written word. Put your hand in this Bible and swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. It's a book. But you speak that book out of your mouth, it becomes life, it becomes power, it becomes light in the darkness. Whatever dark areas of your life. And for me, I'd be remiss to think, man, there's no depression in anybody in this room. No, you know what? You speak to that depression. All that depression is a mountain that's an authority that's hovering over you. Be removed to be cast into the sea, and don't have any doubt in your heart. You'll have whatever you say. That depression has to go in the name of Jesus. See, all revelation comes as an invitation of true encounter with God. See, so if you've got a little bit of revelation, you've got a little bit of encounter. You bumped into him in the supermarket a couple times. You pump gas next to him maybe over the last couple years a few times. But you know what? Man, if there's a constant flow of revelation, you know what it does? It brings wisdom to your life. But it also, it's not about increasing you intellectually. It's not just so that we can win an argument. I think it's important for us to be able to argue the truth. But you know what? We're not casting our pearl before swine here. Man, we're not here to win the argument or win the day. Because let me tell you, the world is not arguing at the level of that the body of Christ should be arguing. I mean, there are basic things that are immovable. There are basic things that we build our lives upon, and the rest of it, it's just personal preference. But you know what? When those things that are immovable, the immutability of God's word, those things that we stand upon and I'm staking my life to, I'm not applying all the opinions of my life to that category. Because let me tell you, my opinions change, but let me tell you, and usually because of what I've experienced from God and how that experience where I've tasted of God, that I begin to see things more clearly. I see things differently. The Bible says that everything that we see isn't all there is. There are things we don't see. Every person here, you've got 5 or 6 major blind spots in your life. And you don't even know it because you learn to live. But you know what? When there's people around me in my life, man, Pastor Sandy, she doesn't have the same blind spots I have. So you know what? It makes our travels a lot more powerful and a lot safer and life much better. But see, you know what we do? The Bible says a fool is right in his own eyes. Doesn't realize those blind spots. Doesn't realize that there's parts that we know and parts that we don't know. Paul even said this, I know in part, therefore I preach in part. That sucker wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Was very sure of himself, except for he said, look, I know in part, therefore I preach in part. See, this revelation that God gives us, it's just that, look, I want to show you who I am. See, what we all are is that the body of Christ is a prism, and we all reflect the side of God no one else can. See, the gift that's in your life, the gift that you are to people, the gift you are to this orphaned planet. Man, a lot of people are pridefully orphans. Never got a hand up in life. They're all self-made. Well, let me tell you, the body of Christ, we're built to give people a hand up. So there's people, man, we'll reach down, and next thing you know, they're slapping our hand out in front of them. They're belligerent. That doesn't stop us from continuing reaching toward them. Why? Because at some point they may encounter God. They may taste of the things of God and see the new perspective that they have. It's like, oh my gosh, that is better life. See, revelation is an invitation to know God. Listen, as healer, as deliverer, as provider, as father, as our protector. That's what revelation is. Man, it's not about giving us this higher level intellect. Yeah, you know what? That's absolutely going to come. But everything in my life is defined by God's goodness, not by my circumstances, not by my experiences. It's defined by God's goodness. If we all came to the realization that, wait a second, we've been adopted, I've been grafted in, and God's good. This vine I'm grafted into is good. Therefore, my life is good. Therefore, my fruit is good. Therefore, my thoughts are good. Therefore, my words are good. My actions, my habits, my marriage, it's good. Why? I'm grafted into the vine. I used to be a wild olive branch. Now I'm not. I'm grafted in. You feeling me? God's good. Therefore, by revelation, you are. Your life is. Your fruit is. See, but we have to define our lives by God, by God's goodness, and not what we can muster and what we can do. It's not a works. There's faith applied to our works, but man, what we trust is just God's promise. Let me put it this way. How I diagnose something is how I'm going to treat it. That's why you go to a doctor and the doctor says, listen, man, there's a spot on that x-ray or whatever, and here's what I propose we do. And you might look at it and think, wait a second, I don't have a piece. I'm going to get a second opinion. See, so much of my life, how I diagnose something is how I'm going to treat it. Man, just this morning I had to apologize to Sandy. I said, Sandy, I had a lot on my mind. There's some things that are, I'm frustrated. All I'm saying is, look, I'm getting out of the flesh here. Please forgive me. And she did. But see, you understand that the way we diagnose something is the way we're going to treat it. We don't want to misdiagnose ministry, misdiagnose who God is. And if we misdiagnose it, we're going to mistreat it. And I think about so many people. My heart's heavy when I think about so many people that have been mistreated by ministry, mistreated by the church, mistreated. Why? Because they were misdiagnosed. Man, there's a lot of people that come in here spiritually, they're blind. They're held captive. There's no trust. And we're telling them, hey, you have to trust. Hey, you have to trust. Our life is predicated upon trust. Well, they're like, I don't trust. So what do we have to do? Rather than trying to treat them, wait, we've got to build trust. See, you guys that are relatively new in the church, you got to build trust. How do you do that? The things that are spoken from this platform have to line up in the Word, and not just once or twice, but two or three or four times. The Bible says in the mouth of three witnesses, things are established. Man, when I get up and say God's the healer, man, find His promise in the Word. He sent His Word and healed us and delivered us of our destruction. Jesus, what about, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He went about doing good and healing all. By whose stripes we were healed, therefore we are. See, it just keeps coming and coming and gushing. We lay hands on the sick and they recover. Man, there is an immutable argument for the healing provision of God. We just have to help people build their trust in that. Real faith doesn't deny the existence of problems. It just denies the problem a place of influence. See, I'll tell you what God's showing me. If you're asking me what's my dream for 2021, my dream is that I pastor, lead, shepherd influencers. Influences in business. Influences in education, in government. Influencers in the church. Influencers in family. Man, that if we start where you begin to influence your family for the King, and then your immediate family, and then the other layers of your family, I'll tell you, 2021's a huge win. But then we go to education and entertainment and the arts, sports. See, we don't let our circumstances dictate or influence our lives. They're there. We're not denying them being there. Let's believe God to deny influence to our problems today. Let's just cut it off today. Today, I'm not letting this diagnosis, I'm not letting these symptoms, I'm not letting my depression, I'm not letting my addiction. See, here's how I am with addiction. We have to have revelation that we're new creations in Christ. And then when that happens, old things are passed away. Behold, everybody say behold. We don't use that word very often. Say it again. Behold, all things have become new. Well, now what's happened to that addiction? It passes away. But let me tell you, we could never look back. And that's a hard thing. Because there's a devil, and you know what he's trying to get you to do? Megan, look back there. Megan, look back there. Look what's behind you. What about yesterday? What about last week? What about last month? See, I've had over 40 years in a faith walk. And you know what? I don't see it as a journey. But if you do, you can. Man, I see it a walk of purpose. Man, there's a new land that I'm living in, that if I keep walking and influencing people and leading people, they'll get to that new land. And you know what they'll do? They'll influence and they'll lead other people to that new land. See, that's where the multiplication comes in of the kingdom. Otherwise, it's all onesies and twosies and what we can add to the mix. But just this front row right here, there's five people that if each of them have 60 people in their lives and they influence those 60 people, and so we look at it, it's like, well, that's 300 people. That's amazing. That's an amazing day. But then you know what? If each of them has 60 people and they influence those 60 people, now it's 300 times 300. It becomes millions of people like that. That's what 2021 is for me. It's acceleration. How do we accelerate things? We get in kingdom multiplication rather than carnal addition. See, there are people here, I believe by the Spirit of God, that you have problems with your organs, your heart, your lungs, your kidneys, your liver. Some of you guys might have had a brain injury. The healing provision of God is here for you today. I'm just telling you, it's what you put your faith in. See, that's how the diagnosis is where you put your faith. See, that's what God's Word does for me. God's Word diagnoses my issues and then shows me the treatment. So I'm not mistreating problems. Why? Because I guard my tongue. I put a bridle on my tongue. What do I let come out? I heard a story of a missionary team that were in the jungles in Africa. And there was an old bus that was going ahead of them, and it had hundreds of people in it. And it started going too fast, and they lost their ability to brake, and they ran off the road, and they hit it. It bounced off a tree and went down into a gorge and started on fire. And there's 100 people in there, and there's bodies strewn all over the place. Well, there was a doctor in the Jeep behind there, and she came running up. Spirit-filled Christian, the only Christian on that in that group. All of the other ones were Native Africans that weren't Christians. They were in a tribe in the jungle. And the first person she came up on was a person that was laying face down on the ground, whose neck was broken and face was looking up. The head was broken and twisted 180 degrees. And the person was dead. And so she stepped over that person, and she started treating people, and there's people all over the place. And the people that were okay, she just looked at them and said, listen, just proclaim life into their body. Just say life, life. And there were 50 or 60 people just saying life, 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 life. And she heard some crackling and turned and looked, and the woman who had the broken neck, who was dead and was head was twisted, was sitting up going like this, like, oh my gosh, what just happened, and loosening themselves up. Let me tell you, that's how strong our word is. It's life. I speak life over your family. I speak life over your finances. I speak life over your mentality. I speak life over your emotions. When's the last time you said, hey, emotions, I speak life? See, due to the circumstances beyond my control, I have concerns about our future. That's everybody. Even if your circumstances were self-made, if they're in your past, they're out of your control. Realize that. See, the devil's going to try to continue to link you with your past because you have no control over your past. So what does he want to do? He wants to get you out of a position of control in your life. What is a disciple? Is someone that has self-control, self-discipline. But if it's always about my past, I have no control. Let me tell you your future. You taste of God's word. You taste of the goodness of God. You experience God, and you allow it to change your perspective, how you see, that you taste and see that the Lord, he is good, and he's faithful, and he rewards faithful people, and he gives you the desires of your heart. Man, what do you have need of today? Man, you came here for a reason. It wasn't just to check the box. Why are you tuning in today? Why are you watching this today? Man, there's people here in Tulsa, they're in Sepulpa, they're in Skytook, but then all over the country and then parts of the world. What do you have need of today? Because I believe there's people here that you've allowed problems to influence your life. And today, you've tasted of the good things of God. But you got to see. There's too many people that are consuming it, too many people that are tasting it. Here, let me try a little of that. Here, let me try a little of this. And it's all carnal and it's all fleshly motivated, where then you begin to see, oh my gosh, my perspective has changed. And you think about that concept, what it does to racism, what it does to sexism, what it does to addictions, that we just taste and see, my perspective has changed. Oh my gosh. I was wrong. I was foolish. See, nobody wants to admit that, but the Bible says a fool's right in his own eyes. I don't want to be right in my own eyes.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.